ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रण्वन्नोतिक्षो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्ददातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः असज्जागरिते दृष्ट्वा स्वप्ने पश्यति तन्मयः असत्स्वप्नेऽपि दृष्ट्वा च प्रतिबुद्धो न पश्यति As I have been telling you from the beginning, the whole Mandukya Upanishad can be reduced to one sentence of vision. I am the whole. And how do you arrive at this sentence? I am the whole. All that is here is only the truth. And the whole Jagat is, that's why the whole, we use the term Jagat. Jagat, Sat, here, all that is here, is only truth means. Here Brahman, that reality implied by the term Brahman alone is Satyam, Brahma Satyam. And anything else other than Brahman here is not really there. What is seemingly there also is what? We say Jagat is Mithya. And every being here is what? Absolutely Brahmaiva. Jivo Brahmaiva Naparaha. That, and what is that Brahman? We say Shuddha Chaitanyam, the consciousness. Then what the consciousness, how is the consciousness? We say, I am that consciousness. All that is here is only the truth, Brahman, the consciousness. And I am that consciousness, which means you, there is nowhere the I can be resolved. Nowhere I is a substantive hanging without the substance for it. What is a substance? Because you found out, no, body is not the substance, mind is not the substance, our pranas, our sense powers are not substance, even though nothing is the substance, because for everything substance is different, isn't it? So here the word I, the substance is only awareness, the consciousness. And that consciousness is the only Satyam, and that Satyam is simply Brahma, and all that is there is only Brahma. Therefore the final conclusion is what? Aham idam sarvam, I am the whole, I am the whole. And to emphasize, this is the teaching, and to make this teaching clearer and clearer, to make this teaching, to make this vision of the Upanishad our vision, Gaudapada Acharyas have been repeatedly discussing, presenting the teaching of the Vedanta, what he has already presented. Here again he is repeating it in a nutshell from verse number 39. Onwards, I think he started already. 32 to 39, until it goes until the 46. Anyway, so here he's been doing, and initially to say that Jagat is Mithya, Brahma Satyam is very clear. Brahma Satyam you arrived at, but still, what about the Jagat? You have to say there's no Jagat. There is no Jagat, means Jagat is Mithya. Mithya means it is as good as non-existent, which means Mithya is nothing but appearance of the Satyam. What seems to be there is only an appearance of the only reality, only second is non-dual reality, the Satyam. So So ekam advitiyam advaitam brahmaiva jagadrupena bhati. The reality alone shines in the form of the universe. So, but there's no jagat means this waking universe which you're experiencing, the waking state, is mithya, like the our dream universe. And we understand why it is mithya, because it is experienced. Initially we understand what? Because it is experienced, it is real for us. Now we say, because it is experienced, it is not real. Anything experienced is not real. Anything objectifiable, anything perceived is not real. Why? Because what is real, the reality, the satyam, is that which is imperceptible, non-experienceable. It is not available for experience. Therefore, anything experienced is what? Not satyam, means not mithya. Satyam is imperceptible, non-experienceable. Therefore, anything experienced is not satyam, it is mithya. Therefore, what happened? The whole jagat is mithya means, like what? Like our dream. Dream is mithya. So, dream is the given as example here. Then if people come, no, dream also is satyam. Therefore, this universe is also satyam. Two different sentences. The people will say, this jagrat prapanchaha mithya, in mithya, drishyatvat sopra prapanchavat. This waking universe is mithya, like the dream, due to its perceptibility and experienceability. When they say that, there are people who say what? This jagrat prapanchaha is satyam, it is real, because it is experienced, like the dream universe. They give the same example. Which means, for them, dream also is satyam. Why? Because it is experienced. And here we have to say, satyam means what? That which is there always. But it is, dream is real only for the dreamer. It is not real for the waker. And waking is real only for the waker, not for the dreamer. Therefore, it is only relatively real. It is real. It is not unreal. This waking universe, is it real or unreal? It is not unreal. Unreal means what? Tuchyam. It is not absolutely non-existent. But is it really existent then? It is not absolutely real. It is neither absolutely real, nor is it absolutely unreal. It is as though. That is why we use a very special technical term, what? Mithya, which cannot be translated into any other language. Only mithya means mithya in Sanskritam, which means as though real, seems to be real, seemingly real, or apparent reality, relative reality, we say all these words. That is why it is not unreal, it is not tucham. But why? Because it is real, available for experience. For whom? Only for the waker, Vishwaha. Therefore, it is relatively real. At the same time, the dream also is not tucham, it is not non-existent, absolutely unreal. That is also real only for the dreamer. It is subjectively real, as I told in the last class. It is also relatively real. So, subjectively real dream universe only for the dreamer is also mithya, not tucham, not satyam. Similarly, this waking universe also, which is real only for the Vishwaha waker, is also what? Mithya, not tucham. But it is not absolutely real. That's why it is not paramarthikam satyam. There is no, that thing is tucham here. What is vyavaharikam satyam? What is empirically real? This universe is empirically real. The universe which is experienced in the waking is empirically real. So, objectively real universe, the waking universe is relatively empirically real. So, subjectively real dream also is what? Relatively real. Dream also is relatively real. It is not absolutely real. And what is absolutely real? Only the Chaitanyam, the consciousness, Brahma. Therefore, when you say this, what has been resolved here is I sense. There is no there is no I, there is no this. What is there? Only Brahma. Only Brahma. If at all, then what are you? Somebody asks, then you should say absolutely, you should, the answer must be what? Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi means what? I itself am the limitless reality, the consciousness. Therefore what? I am the whole. Isn't it? So first Gaudapada Acharya established how dream is mithya. Because of the inappropriateness of time and space and inappropriateness of the, you know, the objects experienced existing within in the time and space which is inappropriate, dream is mithya. So also this waking also is mithya. He establishes the mithyatvam of dream, then he establishes the mithyatvam of the waking also. Okay. That's what we are seeing the last verse here. Asajjagarite drishtva.
Asajjagarite drishtva.
Swapne pasyati tanmayah.
Swapne pasyati tanmayah.
Asat swapne pi drishtva cha.
Asat swapne pi drishtva cha.
Pratibuddho na pasyati.
Pratibuddho na pasyati.
Now, having already clarified the universe being mithya, and here Gaurupacharya says, when a person experiences the dream objects in the dream world and he becomes what now? Tanmayaha means he sees this dream world as absolutely real world as long as one is in dream. And the dream, how does he see? No, asat jagarite drishtva. Whatever he experiences in his dream is in fact what? Already a manifestation or surfacing of this, the samskaras, the vasanas has accumulated in the waking universe. And what about that waking universe? Waking universe also is mithya. So this dream is the production of the thoughts, the samskaras of thoughts, which have been accumulated experiencing the mithya objects, mithya world. And so experiencing the dream, asat swapne drishtvacha, and while experiencing the dream, experiencing it as the real universe, as long as he is in dream, prabuddha na pasyati. So the repetition of what he has taught. Prabuddha, waking up, as a person has woken up from sleep, na pasyati, he does not see the dream world anymore. Which means, there is, for the waker, there is no dream world. For the dreamer, there is no waking world. Now we say, for turiyaha, there is neither the dream world nor the waking world. Now you have to remember, for the prajnaha, there is neither the dream world nor the waking world. For the taij, I'm using these words, okay? For the person who is asleep, there is neither the dream world nor the waking world. For the one who is in dream, for the taijasaha, only dream world is there. There is no waking world. For the waker vishwaha, the waking world alone is there, not the dream world. For the one who has resolved his identity in consciousness, from the standpoint of turiya chaitanyam the atma, there is neither the dream world nor the waking world. In fact, there is no jagat. If there is no jagat, what is then? There is only Brahma. What is that Brahma? Aham Brahmasmi. Okay, pratibuddha na pasyati. Does not see that. Okay, let us go to the next verse. Now he concludes, sort of presenting all the possibilities, four possibilities. Look at this. नास्त्यसद्धेतुकमसत् सदसद्धेतुकं यथा सच्च सद्धेतुकं नास्ति सद्धेतुकमसत्कुतः He says first the verse is a little complicated verse in the sense he has used all compounds. I tell you. Nasti. First word is nasti. Asad hetukam asat nasti. You have to write the first sentence is what? Asat hetukam asat nasti. When you split this, the karika, you get the first sentence you get is what? Asat hetukam asat nasti. Which means a non asat means non-existent, isn't it? A non-existent thing cannot originate from a non-existent thing. Which means an asat cannot, produce an asat. Asat, non-existent thing, does not originate from a non-existent thing. You cannot, isn't it? First thing he says. Sad asadhetukam means an existent thing also cannot originate from a non-existent thing. Next sentence is what? Sad asadhetukam nasti. You have to add nasti. Asadhetukam asad nasti. First sentence. Asadhetukam asat nasti. Asadhetukam sat nasti. Which means, a non-existent thing cannot, is it? An existent thing cannot originate from a non-existent thing. For in this both you can say what? Which means, there is no jagat. If this jagat is looked upon as a creation, then what now? We say it already mithya. Therefore, a non-existent thing cannot originate from a non-existent thing. An existent thing cannot originate from a non-existent thing. Now, a non-existent thing cannot originate from an existing thing also. An existing thing also cannot originate from already existing thing. There are four options, I tell you. From the asat, an asat cannot originate. Asat, okay, first, asat means, from the asat, an asat cannot originate. Sentence one, second sentence. From the asat, sat cannot originate. From the non-existent, an existent thing cannot originate. The third option, from the existent thing, a non-existent thing cannot originate. From an existent thing cannot originate. Got it? I'll repeat again. From an existent thing cannot originate. How can a non-existent thing originate from a non-existent thing? Okay, second. An existent thing cannot originate from a non-existent thing. Second option. The third option. From an existent thing, a non-existent thing cannot originate. And from an existent thing also cannot originate. And here, they accept everything. Yes, that is true. From a non-existent thing, something non-existent also cannot originate. From an non-existent thing, something existent also cannot originate, because even the origination, we already saw this earlier, the origination must have what? The verb origination, originates, must have a subject. There is no subject. For a verb, subjectless verb isn't it, is not grammatically correct. Therefore, it is not right. Then, from an existent thing, a non-existent thing cannot originate. Then, from an existent thing, an existent thing need not, cannot originate. The last one, it becomes a little confusion. No way. When an existent thing, another existent thing can originate. And what is the example given? Clay pot. Not my example. Don't think I am repeating. Puja Swamiji always has too many small pots under his thing. And he'll show that he'll make it very interesting. But what I'm saying, that's an exciting thing for all of them when they came first to Coimbatore. Okay? Now what I'm saying, why? Because traditionally, you know, Shankara Bhagavatpada uses the example. That's why we have to use it. So, we'll say, clay is existent. We're experiencing it. Pot is also what? We're experiencing it. Pot is also there. Pot has come from clay. One existent from one sat, another sat has originated. From one sat, another sat has originated. This is again old example, old thing. I don't need to tell you how to resolve it. You all already know. We cannot say there are not two existent things. There are only one vastu here. Before the what was clay, isn't it? It's a karana avastha. Later on, we say what now? Karya avastha. We say the avastha. Yeah. Avastha bedaha. There is between the two, the difference in condition. Between the two, difference in time, before and after. Between the clay and pot, again what? Nama rupa bedaha. There's a difference in form. Difference in form, difference in name, difference in condition. Isn't it? But still, you cannot, there's only one non-difference is what? Vastu bhedaha. The difference in substance. Difference in form, difference in name, different in condition, difference in time. Difference is not in vastu. There is no difference. Therefore we say, vastu bhedaha nasti. Therefore we say here what? And if we take it, is there a pot, we remove the clay, then the pot has no substance. This is the old lesson. Why I am repeating it today? That's the only example we had to give. There's no substance. There's no such substance called pot minus clay. There is only clay. And pot, what is pot then? Pot is only rupam. Appearance of the clay. Pot is also another word for clay, which is mithya. Is it? Therefore, so what? Extend the example to this universe now. This universe has, or which is experienced, which is sat, which is real. Why it is real? Because it has originated from Brahman, the karanam. Between Brahman and karanam, can we say karana karya sambandha asti? There is relationship between Brahman and jagat. Cause-effect relationship is there. We say definitely not. There is no cause-effect relationship between Brahman and Jagat. Why? Because for Sambandha to be there, there must be two parallel realities. The two are not there. And here, between the clay and pot, there is no Sambandha, there is no relationship. Cause-effect relationship is not there. Therefore, we cannot say what? There is Sambandha. Similarly, here, between Brahman and Jagat also, there is no Sambandha. Why? Because there is only Brahman. There is no jagat. That has been made clear in this verse. In this verse again, it only repeats. All the four possibilities we have seen. There is no, don't need to worry about the fifth possibility. That's what. Viparyasadyatha jagrate. Achintyan bhutavat sprushet Tatha swapne viparyasad धर्मास्तत्रैव पश्यति विपर्यासाद्यथा जाग्रत् अचिन्त्यान् भूतवत् स्पृशेत् तथा स्वप्ने विपर्यासाद् धर्मास्तत्रैव पश्यति ओके नौ अचिन्त्यः अचिन्त्यम् मीन्स् दिस् कॉन्टेक्स्ट् an object of perception. An object of perception is called achintya. Achintyan means all these objects of perception, all these objects experienced here in the world, as the world, the objective universe, the world of objects experienced when in the waking state. Jagrad achintyan. Jagrat Achintyan means the objects experienced in the waking state. How do we see that? Bhutavat Sprishet, which means we experience them as though they are real. Bhuta means real. We see this universe as though it is real. We take it to be the reality. So here, Jagrat Achintyan Bhutavat Sprishati. Bhutavat Sprishet is a sentence which means we all, the human beings, we all experience this world of objects as reality. Why do we do this? What is the reason for that? Why do we see this waking universe, waking world of objects as the reality? Why is this very real for us? Because Viparyasat. The reason is what? Viparyasat. Viparyasaha means delusion due to the lack of discriminative knowledge of what is absolutely real, what is empirically relatively real, that because of the delusion. Viparyasaha means delusion. And delusion is caused by what? Ignorance. Viparyasat. There is viparyasaha. There is delusion, there is lack of discriminative knowledge of what is real, what is not real. We do see, because here we do see the water, we do see the ocean full of waves. But with reference to ocean full of waves and water, we have what? Vivekaha. We have the discriminative knowledge. We have no mohaha. We have no viparyasaha is not there. We know what is real, what is as though real. Without denying the experience of the ocean and the waves, okay, we can say what? There is no ocean, there are no waves, there's only water, because we know water is real, therefore there is no real wave, there is no real ocean. That is called, isn't it, Vivekaha. But here we don't have that. What is real? What is Brahman? What is absolutely real? We do not know. Therefore, what happens? We do not know what is real, what is not real. And because that viparyasa, when we experience this jagat, spruśyati means what? Every time you can't help experiencing the world. In fact, the sense organs themselves are blessed. You are blessed with sense organs for enjoying experiencing this world. That is why they are given the name what? The instruments of enjoyment, instruments of experience, instruments of knowledge. No, these instruments are, if all of us are blessed with these instruments of perception and experience for experiencing this world. That does not, because you are experiencing it, when we experience, what do we think, what do we know about it? We have no discriminative knowledge. Bhutavat sprishet. We see it as the reality. It is very difficult. Bhutavat Sprishati. Why? Viparyasat. This is not something new here, but still repetition. Viparyasatri, come on. If you are still seeing this world as reality, you are still, your delusion is there. Make sure. Your ajnanam is still there. Even though you have heard so much of, so many texts we have covered, so many years been studying Vedanta, does not, we come to in Mandukya Upanishad. Still, we have come to Mandukya means something. Know that? Something means what? Oh. Mandukyam means Mandukyam Ekamevalam. A study of one Upanishad called Mandukyam is enough for you to have the vision of the Vedanta, entire Vedantic vision means. That does not mean, okay, your ignorance has gone. Ajnanam is still there. What is, how, on what basis can you say your ignorance is still there? No, I understood, I know Atma, I know Brahman is consciousness and Brahman Atma are one and the same. And then Aham Brahmasmi, I have heard all these things. Jagati is Mithya, Waking Universe is Mithya, that is Mithya, I have heard everything, I know everything. But when you experience the world in your buddhi, when you are experiencing the ocean and the waves, how are you experiencing it? You don't close your eyes. You have no problem. You can experience the ocean. You can experience the waves. You can experience the plurality, multiplicity, divisibility. You can see, no? Even the non-equality of the waves, small, big, etc. You see all the differences, but still you see the unity in, isn't it? In diversity. Why? Because you know the truth is water. It's the only one vastu. Remove it means there is no wave. So you are so clear. You have vivekaha. But such vivekaha is not here. When you are experiencing the world, definitely what now? It is bhuta vata sprishet. You see it as reality. In fact, we see the wave also as reality only, even though we see the water. But that's the grossest example. Imagine here the most abstract reality, which means our jnanam is not clear. There's no jnanam. There's no assimilation. There's no ascertainment of the vision of the truth. That is why still there is how to know. There's still no ascertainment of the vision of the truth. Therefore, there's still delusion. Still, there is perception of what no, the reality, world as the reality. Now, he says, not only this world, what about the other world? When you are dreaming also, you cannot say that in dream you are helpless. In dream, so whatever, you cannot see the dream while dreaming as something mithya. So, therefore, he says the next line, tatha, in the same way, Swapne viparyasat dharmaha tatraiva pashyati. In a dream also, one experiences the dream world of objects, no, as the reality. Mepurulagave padapine kangiran. No, he sees this world of objective world as the very reality. Meine pakram. He sees it as the reality. So in Swapnam also, you see the dream as the reality. In waking also, you see the waking universe as the reality. What is the reason? Viparyasaha. He emphasizes viparyasat. Viparyasat means what? Due to the delusion caused by ignorance. For it is impossible for us to see this jagat being not real. To see this, you should not say, okay, I have to close my eyes, I have to stop experiencing the world to say there is no jagat. That is another problem. Okay, that's why Shastram does not deny the perception of the plurality, multiplicity, diversity. Shastram does not deny the perception of the very world, experience of the world, does not deny, you know, even the usefulness of the universe, how useful the objects are. How can you say chair is not real? When we come, we can't sit down immediately. We look for the chair because it serves a purpose. Chair is real. I'm sitting, I'm enjoying the comfort given by the chair. How can we say the tumbler is not real? Because I'm enjoying the usefulness. When I drink the water, when I'm so thirsty, you know, I can't go and drink. And I enjoy the benefit, enjoy the usefulness of the objects here. If a utility also is there, they all serve the purpose. How can we say this, you know, the world is not real? The Shastram does not deny the utility, does not deny the experience, does not deny even the perceptivity, but still Shastram denies what? Only one thing, the absolute status, absoluteness attributed to the world alone, Shastram is denying. Which means, it is there, everything, it serves up, everything is there, but it is not absolutely real. That's what is understood here. Let us go to the next karika. So from here, he is answering another question. If this is the fact, this is the most abstract, verifiable, non-deniable, non-refutable fact. What is that non-refutable, non-deniable, abstract fact? All that is there is absolutely only reality. Which means you are equating what? Gross universe is equal to grossest universe. Gross, grosser, grossest. Subtle, subtler, subtlest. Gross, grosser, grossest. Universe, objects now constituting this universe is equal to what? Now, the most intangible, abstract consciousness. Like how you say ocean is water, here you are reducing the whole jagat is equal to consciousness. Which means there is difference. What difference is there? Grossness. There is subtlest reality. Isn't it? But still you are saying the whole universe is consciousness. This is the fact. Then why does the Veda Shastra, the Veda, introduce the worship of the Lord? Why there is Ishwaraha? Why Lord is brought into the picture? Why can't we leave the Lord? Why Ishwaraha? Why Devata Aradhanam? Why the whole Karma Kanda of the Veda prescribes what? No, invocation of the natural grace of Bhagavan, the Lord, in the form of Devatas. What are Devatas? Every natural phenomenon is looked upon as a manifestation of consciousness. That is why each phenomenon is called what? Devata. Really speaking, every object of experience is Devata. Like, you know, every opaque object reflecting the light is what? Reflecting the light is reflection of light. Every opaque object reflecting which shine, every shining opaque object, let me put it correctly. Every shining opaque object reflecting the light is reflection of light. Similarly here, every object, shining object in this world, form, color, taste, touch, sound, every object here is what? Actually manifestation of consciousness. So anything which is looked upon as manifest, anything and everything which shines is what? Manifestation of consciousness. And that manifestation of consciousness is Devata. And we see the wonderful powers like sun, moon, stars, all of them as what? Devatas. Each element is a Devata. Elemental product is Devata. There is nothing which is not Devata. In fact, Manushya also we can say what? You are a Devata. In fact, our heart is also what? Devata. Our lung is a devata. Devata means every phenomenon is a devata here. But you don't go into the deep, no, those things. We only see the inexplicable, the phenomena around us. So here, what do we do? In the Karma Kanda, in fact, the most voluminous portion of the Veda is Karma Kanda. In the Karma Kanda of the Veda itself prescribes what now? Invocation of devatas and offering oblations to them. The worship, the form of worship is introduced in the very Veda. That based on the law of karma, that no action goes based without producing a result. This is the law of karma. Therefore, worship also, the invoking the grace of devatas through the offering of oblations, expressing one's gratitude to devatas, you know, for all that they can give us, is also what? A karma, which means the worship is introduced. It means devata aradhanam. Not only that, Ishvara is introduced. And we say what? All the devatas together constitute Ishvara. Why does Shastram introduce Ishvara if it is Ishvara is not there? Mithya. Ishvara is mithya. Jagati is mithya. Jiva is mithya. Everything is mithya here. All that is experienced is mithya. All that is experienced is mithya. The experiencer status also is mithya. The truth of the experiencer, the consciousness obtaining as the truth of the experiencer, obtaining as the existence of the all that takes experienced here, alone is satyam. Means, why is it there? The question will arise, why can't Upanishad straight away teach this? Why can't Upanishad straight away teach this fact? Here, Gaudapada Acharyaji gives the reason. Understand? This is what very, very important. This is the part many people miss out. See, a human being basically is a social being. We know that. And we are the people most insecure beings in the world. You know that. Even though we are the most sophisticated, but still you are most insecure beings. Because no dog or cat worries, you know. Really speaking, there is no insecurity. They just live because, you know, programmed, live and go. We are very insecure. And we are emotionally very needy, emotionally dependent, irrespective of who the human being is. Whether he is Indian or a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim or anybody, wherever one is born, every human being basically, naturally is emotionally dependent, needy and insecure. Irrespective of who the person is. Therefore, definitely it is very important for one to be dependent on the world. Nobody can be by oneself. It is impossible for one to be by oneself, you know, without leaning on the world, and depending upon the world. It's not for survival, emotionally, without leaning on the world, it is not possible for one to be by oneself. But when you are emotionally dependent, because of the ignorance is there. See, everything is natural here. Who has created the ignorance? Ignorance is very natural. Ignorance being natural, now ignorance caused problems are also natural. It is natural for one to feel small and insecure and inadequate. Therefore, to feel secure. See, everyone is naturally, basically insecure, inadequate. Why? There's a sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness, sense of insecurity centered on I. Caused by what? This is the fundamental problem. Caused by the delusion born of ignorance. And the ignorance is very natural. Nobody has created. We should not ask why ignorance is. Don't ask the question. Ignorance is. That's how. And here, that such being the case, it is you can't help in order to feel, in order to be secure, what you do naturally, not knowing ignorance being the cause of, root cause of your insecurity and inadequacy and sense of smallness, we helplessly, what is available for us to lean on to feel secure is the world of objects which is available for experience. Understand? Therefore, the more and more we are depending on the world for our experience, the more we continue to be gross and ignorant. If in order to help us, straight away the world cannot say, even though you are dependent on the world for security, you know, still there is no real security. Even having the world, leaning on the world also, you will continue to be insecure. So leaning on the world does not make you really secure. You feel secure for some time. Really, it is not a source of security. And why? Because as long as ignorance is there, there will be this dependence on the world for security will be there. So straight away, Shastram cannot say, you do not know what you are. You are ignorant of yourself. Ignorance is the root cause of, you know, the delusion. Therefore, because of the delusion, there is a sense of you mistake your anatma for the atma. Therefore, you have the fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I. Therefore, what you should do? Therefore, you are dependent on the world for security. In fact, you are the source of security. You have to know what you are. You are happiness. You are fullness. There is no jagat. Everything is mithya. If the jagat says, you are not depending upon this mithya world. If the Upanishad says in the very first class, next day we won't come to the class. We are already very insecure. And Upanishad teaches in the very first day like this, it is non-digestible, bitter fact. And we were so much in love with this world, isn't it? We love this world so much because it is very cozy for us. Therefore, Bhagavan Shastram knows, Shastram cannot shift your dependence straight away from the world to yourself. Cannot make you absolutely dependent, small, insecure, limited individual. Was dependent on the world, shifted dependence from the world to a dependent individual. He can't make you self-dependent straight away. He has to shift your emotional dependence from the world to Bhagavan, Ishwaraha, and from then it is easy. From the, then Ishwara to yourself. When your dependence from the world to Bhagavan, if dependence, emotional dependence is shifted from the world to the Lord, Ishwara, you are religious. Religious. When your dependence is shifted from the world to yourself, you are spiritual. Understand? That's good. Therefore, here he gives the answer. Look at this. What is the, therefore, he is going to say here, people who are basically naturally, all the human beings are very insecure, emotionally dependent people, needy people, and very immature people also. Dependent or immature. Don't mistake me. The Shastram says, we may be 60, 70, 80, okay, but still, okay, you know, whatever it is, we are relatively more mature than our children. Certain aspects, not every, sometimes they are more mature. But Shastram says, you know, immature. Why we are immature? We are all dependent on the world for our security and happiness. Why? Because the world is very real for us. So he says now in this verse, like you see, let us read this Karika now. Upalambhat samacharat,
upalambhat samacharat,
asti vastu वस्तुत्ववादिनाम्
जातिस्तु देशिता बुद्धैः
अजातेस्त्रसतां सदा उपलम्भात् समाचारात् अस्ति वस्तुत्ववादिनाम् जातिस्तु देशिता बुद्धैः अजातेस्त्रसतां सदा.
ओके,
he says vastutvavadinam. Vastutvavadi means those people for whom the world is very real. Vastutvavadi here means the people who are emotionally insecure. When I say people who, I mean what? Entire humanity, in fact. Okay, the people are emotionally insecure, emotionally dependent, and they are very immature. Therefore, such people, for them, the world is very real. Vastutvavadinam jagad asti. This world is very real for those immature, insecure, emotionally needy people who are dependent on this world for their security. Very real for them. Vastutvavadinam jagat asti. Why it is real for them? He gives two reasons. Upalambhat. One reason is upalambhat. For the immature people who are insecure and dependent on this world for security, for such people world is real. Why? Because, first reason, because of its availability for experience and perception. The world is available for experience and perception. Therefore, it is real for those people. Not for the mature people, not for those who are not dependent on the world for their security and happiness. Not for those people who are emotionally free from dependence. Only for the people who are emotionally dependent. Which means, who are the people who are free from emotional dependence? We call them Jivan Muktas, wise people. Wise people are those who are emotionally free from emotional dependence, who are not emotionally needy people, who are not dependent on the world for their security or happiness. They are wise people. Who are the wise people? Who have the wisdom? What is the wisdom? Those who know the truth. What is the truth for them? For them, there is no second thing other than the truth, and that truth is their own self. For them, the truth is the substance of the substantive I. And that's the only substance of all the substantives of the world. That's the only substance for the substantive world also. They are wise people. But here, he is not talking about the wise people. He is talking about the vastutvavadi. Vastutvavadi naam means for those people who are ignorant of the truth, who are ignorant of the self, who are deluded, who do not have the lack of, who do not have the discriminative knowledge of what is satyam and what is mithya, and who are very emotionally needy and dependent, and who are dependent on the world for security, and such people see this world as the reality. Why? Because it is available for experience and perception. Upalambhat. Not only that, he goes one more step. Samacharat. Why? Because every object in this world exists, what now? Within the realm of order. There is no object here which is not within the order. Every object means what? All the functions, all the actions, all the experiences, all the objects of experience, they're all within the realm of law and order, the universal natural law and order. Everything is in perfect order. Even the disorder, anything which seems to be not acceptable for us, we think there's disorder. In fact, the seeming disorder also is within the realm of the order. There is no disorder at all. There's absolutely perfect order here. There is orderliness. Orungu. There is perfect orderliness. Sun, moon, all the objects here, they're all functioning. Everything, there is a function. Isn't it? The whole Jagat. Jagat itself is what? Actually, Uriyakam. There's a function. And then all of them are within the realm of the law and order means there is orderliness. That is why, what about the experience of pain, experience of pleasure, the jealousy, hatred, anger, action, reaction, everything is within the realm of order, beautiful order, orderliness. And there's a law of karma. Why if somebody is suffering? Why somebody is not suffering? We talk about what? It is because of the past karma. Which means, how come the karma determines, the result is determined by the law and order. Not the karma. The result of the action is determined by the natural law and order. And which is expressed in the form of what? Which gets expressed in the form of the person's experience of pain or pleasure. Success or failure. Loss or gain. My God, which means there is an order involved everything. There is orderliness. Shastram itself talks about what? Sanchitam karma, agami karma, parabdha karma, everything. But they are all relatively real. Not absolutely real. There is an orderliness. It's called samacharaha. Everything is functioning in proper, perfect order. That orderliness, that obtaining in this the functioning of the universe also, seeing that also what? Even the people who are highly, you know, all the scientists, really all of them must be wondering, my God, how wonderful it is functioning, how wonderful it is, how it is functioning. When you see every object here, like that. So, because of the orderliness also what? They think the world is real. The second line, word actually is also answer for the scientists also. Because they probe into how things work here, how it functions here, what is the cause, what caused the disease, what must be the... Now, always, every time some new medicine is discovered as a remedy for any given disease, they have done a lot of research, which means they have understood the disorder, and which means there is an order behind it. That is why it is possible. Curing, correcting is possible only if they understand the correction of disorder is based on the understanding of the order involved in the function. This is the secret behind the discovery of anything. All this work. That is why they all educated, very highly learned people and who have done a lot of research, which means they also appreciate the orderliness. Shastram does not deny the perceptibility, experienceability, diversity, plurality, even the orderliness Shastram does not deny. Because of that, what happens? These immature people, people, the insecure people, emotionally needy people, mistakes this world for reality. They mistake this mithya universe for real universe. Okay, samacharate, upalambhate, the fifth panchami, no, which when it comes now, the hetvarte panchami, there's a hetu, reason why people mistake this universe. It is common, it is natural for anybody to mistake this universe for the reality. Because available for experience, there is orderliness in the universe. So, upalambat samacharat vastutvavadinam jagadasti. Therefore, for such people, straight away if we say, there is no creation, Shastram does not want to introduce Ajati Vadaha in the very first class of Vedanta. Ajati Vadaha means what? Isn't it? The establishment of the fact of the non-creation, creation being not there. There is no creation at all. There is no Jagat. There is only Satyam. If there is no cause, there is no effect, therefore there is no creation, there is only Satyam. If this, it is called what? This is what is expressed by one word, Ajati, non-creation. So if the Upanishad teaches, it will really confuse the simple people. The simple people cannot digest this fact. Sometimes, no, something you have to, can't give, overload the mind. The mind needs some capacity to digest the fact. The mind needs to become mature. The gross mind needs to become subtle mind. That is why I told you, the very first class, kindergarten class, when we go, we are not even given the pencils with the sharp edges. We are only given the crayons. Know why? We are all crayons only. In kindergarten class, you are not asked to use the pencil, HB pencil with the sharp edge. That use only when you go to higher standards, when you use geometry box and fine drawings you make, you need that such pencils. Because we are not subtle enough to handle the pencil edge, isn't it? Points. Then we need what? We don't, everything we just break. That's why they start with the crayons and chalk pieces and, you know, pencil, clay pencils use on the boards. That we can break because we are grossest minded. We start with our mind, our water also, what now? Like that only. We're all what now? Actually, we're all like diamonds, uncut diamonds, isn't it? They have to shine, means they have to be properly cut. They have to really. Therefore, here, buddhi is there, it's not sharpened buddhi. That has to be sharpened. Similarly, the gross minds must become subtle minds to appreciate the subtle facts. So here also, Veda is always, Vedaha is always called Mata, Shruti Mata. This I told you many times. The mother alone knows what food should I give this baby. The newborn baby only mothers feed. Afterwards, then liquids. Then slowly there is a day when you have to start the solid. Even in India, before starting the solid, we won't straight away start. We do puja, pray to Bhagavan, then we give you the solid also. You know, anna prashanam. Like that, then when you can give what? And then you won't even give biscuits and cakes, what all you eat for the baby. Because baby cannot digest. What it has, how much it can consume, how much it can digest, what it can digest, the mother knows. Similarly, Veda Mata knows that every baby here, 60, 70 doesn't matter, all the babies needs to be fed with palatable food alone. Therefore, what now? Upanishad itself talks about Srishtihi. If there is no creation, why Upanishad introduces creation? Talks about the creation. Talks about the creation and tells us like a story. Akashad vayuhu vayoragnihi agnerapaha adbhya prithivi prithivya oshadayaha oshadibhyonam annat purushaha. All big stories, and from there it came and the whole jagat came into being. Like that, Upanishad introduces the Srishti, talks about the Srishti. Then finally it says what? There is no jagat. There's no creation. Isn't it? Sugar-coated pill. Now, first it says, like this, all has come into existence from Brahman. Then finally says, nothing has come, only Brahman is, there's no Jagat, there's no creation. It's very big fact. That's why initially he says, only for the well-being, mental health of the, to sustain the interest in Vedanta study, to retain the interest of the students in the Vedanta study, to continue and help them become sharper and sharper, subtler and subtler, intellectually sharper, mentally subtler, we have to become, in order to help us become sharper intellectually, subtler mentally, Upanishad itself, you know, to what now, presents this topic of creation. Okay, look at this. Jatihi tu deshita buddhaihi. Jatihi deshita. Jatihi means the topic of creation has been introduced, directed by the wise people, rishis, in the Upanishads. It means not their creation. Okay? In the teaching itself, Vedanta, Upanishad itself what? Talks about the srishtihi. Why srishti is introduced? Understand? Upadeshita. Then ajatehe trasatam sada. This trasata means the people who are very highly frightened of what? The fact of creation being not there. Frightened of knowing the creation being not there. Very frightening fact for them. It's a fact, but frightening. Because they do not have the capacity to digest this fact, grasp this fact, no, it is very frightening fact. See, the fact understood is joy and happiness. Fact ununderstood is what? Fear. Frightening, confusing. That is why there's a way how it has to be given slowly. Isn't it? So for buddhaihi, for the wise people, why the wise people, this topic means in the very Upanishad itself, the topic of creation has been introduced and discussed, not for the sake of establishing the creation, but finally to negate the creation, to say there is no creation, for the sake of people who are frightened of this, understand, frightened of this creation being not real. The fact, frightened of, understand this fact of creation being not real. If you say there is no creation, means what? There will be, you will feel very, very lonely. Difference is between what? Loneliness and aloneness. Being alone is different from being lonely. Wise person can be alone. Isn't it? What is being alone for a wise person is loneliness for an ignorant person. In aloneness, there is, in wisdom, there is aloneness, there is happiness, there is fullness. Isn't this? Whereas in loneliness, there is fear, there is insecurity. Therefore, there is a big difference here. Trasat means trasatam, for those people who are very, very frightened of this. Frightened means what? Insecure. It is difficult for one to be by oneself, even at home. That is the reason when we talk to somebody on the phone also, something should be, notebook and pad, suppose a pen is there. If you are talking to somebody for a while, you can see how many drawings you have made or how much you have scribbled, how much paper you have wasted. If you take and see after you finish the conversation, you will know why you do that. They're all expressions of your what? Restlessness, which all expression of insecurity. Second thing, you want, if nobody is there, nothing, I have nothing to be done. Physically, I have nothing to do. And then nobody's at home to talk to me. If I don't watch television, if I don't read books, if your attention is not in any work, no hoovering work, no washing work, nothing. Simply, you're asked to sit. Sit here in one place. Of course, we should be very active. Physical is a different thing. Suppose somebody asks you to sit in this chair without moving, without doing any physical activity, without thinking of anything. Don't think of anything. Without thinking of wife or husband or children or relatives or friends or some associates or something else, or without thinking of anything, without doing physically anything, sit for some time. Nobody can sit. If you're alone, means you will start what now? You'll be living in your own world, daydream. Your mind will be thinking of something. You need to read something, speak to something, write something, read something, do something. You must be involved in some action or the other. I cannot be by myself. Okay? That is the basic human problem. We do not know. That is the reason we all want to be part of something. That is why any organization will survive in the world. Swamiji always beautifully puts it. Everyone will have done, any one person will have at least 2-3 followers. Why? Because the world is needy. Therefore, I want to be part of something. That is why any organization where I feel secure, where I feel comfortable, where I can meet people, where I can be of something, we always want to be part of something. It's all what? It's all, it reveals only our need to be, need, our expresses our needs. That means we are dependent. We cannot be by ourselves. In fact, understanding this basic human requirement, basic need alone, even the Indian vivaha, the marriage also, is based on this. Companionship is a must for one. Emotionally, that is the only way we can grow. That is why even the marriage has been organized, is also for what? Emotional companionship. The world, because it is impossible for one to be emotionally independent. That's why when the sannyasa also, when you take, then you are dependent on what again? Totally shastram. Dependence is on the shastram. Thereby emotional dependence is also on the guru. But the real guru is the one who helps you discover your freedom from emotional dependence. You become free from the dependence upon even guru and shastram also. That is the one guru, not the one who makes emotionally hang around all the time. Really. That is, Pooja Swamiji is the meaning of the word guru, really, in giving that vision, wisdom. You have the wisdom, have the vision, be wherever you are, still you will be fine. Isn't it? That's the thing. What I want to say here, ajatehe trasatam jatistu deshita. Why Upanishad discusses the topic of creation. I'll stop here. Now we have interesting verses following. We'll read that following verses. Please have your tea and come back.